Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know why I really admire and respect Connor Lamb? Because he stood up to the scoundrels who were convinced that Trump won the election. He stood up to the hypocrites and liars in Congress who were convinced there was a conspiracy. I respect and admire that. The congressman joining me live during some very troubling times. How are you, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, Marty. Thanks for having me back.
Well, help me with what's happening in D.C. today. Did they tell you to stay home, sir? Did they tell you to keep away from the Capitol?
More or less. They had us finish up our votes last night so we could just get out of town. Unfortunately, it was because they had some credible intelligence of a possible attack. And they're taking that stuff a lot more seriously now after January 6th, as they should.
Well, yeah, but you're a smart guy. Come on, man. Federal prosecutor, just coming from Central Catholic makes you smart, as we both know. But I'm not buying what they're selling. I don't believe that QAnon, and I talked to a couple guys that work down there, is capable of taking on Capitol Police and overthrowing the government. And as a former federal prosecutor, I can't believe you believe it either.
Well, yeah, with the security setup that we have right now, it's pretty good. But, I think you have to ask yourself after January 6th, how much are we willing to just trust Q? It's not really so much QAnon, but these groups like the Oath Keepers, for example, that are made up of military and law enforcement veterans, and they have openly declared civil war on our country. Those are the people that you saw on January 6th in military gear carrying air spray and weapons and climbing gear and things to breach doors and windows. And so, if they show up and what they do is attack a National Guard checkpoint and kill two National Guardsmen, they may never get to a congressman like me, but I still consider that an unacceptable result. And we have to do what we can to, bring these people to justice and prevent them from making any future attack.
Congressman Connor Lamb making actually a spot-on observation in most of the data suggesting that the arrest that day suggests that more than 30% of those arrested had a military background, which kind of makes me sad. No, it really makes me sad.
I think that number's going to climb, too.
You think so?
I just think it's really important. We have a lot of veterans in Western Pennsylvania. We have to be really clear about this. If you are a veteran and you swore an oath to the Constitution, there's only one side of this argument for you, which is that it's wrong to overthrow the government or try to overthrow the government. It's wrong to attack the Capitol. Our Constitution establishes that Capitol as the seat of our government, and the idea that these veterans were sold a false ideology about what their oath meant. That's what it's all about. These groups talk about their oath and how they had to attack the Capitol because of their oath. It's the exact opposite. It's the National Guardsmen that are there defending the Capitol right now who are obeying their oath. And I got the chance to meet some of them yesterday from Western Pennsylvania. They've been there for over a month away from their families. It's a big sacrifice that they're making, and that's what the oath really means.
Congressman Connor Lamb, coming from the branch I admire the most, the Marines, how does this happen, sir, that at least 38%, maybe more, of those arrested end up in the military? What is it, the training, indoctrination? What is it, sir, that's creating this nightmarish situation?
Yeah, I think it probably has more to do with a lot of the things that happen when you leave military service, because we have not seen very many active duty types that were involved. There were one or two, but they're mostly veterans. And I think what happens is veterans go back into a society that still does not have enough opportunity for everybody in every zip code, you know, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of veterans come from small towns, come from the countryside, and if they go back there and things aren't as good as they were 20 or 30 years ago, people are angry. Obviously, our society is very divided, and I think things like social media and technology have made people more extreme in their beliefs. So it's like a very fertile environment for these false prophets and liars who start telling them about the oath and the way that, you know, they're like the Patriots of 1776 and they have to try to overthrow, you know, Biden's government and protect Trump or whatever. It's just a fertile ground for that, unfortunately. And I think we have a lot of work to do to try to fix that.
Congressman Lamb, we got a lot to get to. Let's talk budget. Let's talk the relief plan. Biden's plan getting criticized. Let me read a couple quotes from Senator Toomey. $270 million for the National Endowment of the Arts. Oh, that's COVID-related? Thank goodness that's there. He's being sarcastic. $91 million for outreach for student loan borrowers. I don't even know what that means. $50 million for environmental justice grants. I have no idea what that means. $4 billion for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. I say about $4 billion because it says such funds as may be necessary. He's going off on the overspending. I know you're hearing this, sir. Please tell us your take. Some argue only 8% of that budget will actually help with COVID relief. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, that part is just not true, the part about the 8 or 9%.
Yes, sir.
The reason they say that is because they take the money that is only directly part of the vaccination program, and that's the part that they count as 8 or 9%, whereas, you know, if you've been unemployed for 6 months or more due to COVID and the unemployment money in this bill will help you, I think you would say that's pretty directly related to COVID. And I think, you know, there's a number of other parts of the bill where we're going to help people. If you've been collecting a union pension, but it was cut because the stock market went bad and your choice is to either go work a grocery store job during COVID or have your union pension fixed, I'd say you'd say that's COVID related. With respect to Senator Toomey's comments,
yes.
Look, any big bill that moves in Washington is going to have a couple of things in it that anyone can pick out and say, oh, this isn't good for my state or my district. That's because we're an enormous country with a lot of different needs. And I just want to know where guys like him were all last year, where we were showering money on Wall Street, not in the millions.
Billions.
He was talking about millions, not in the millions, but in the hundreds of billions. And the money ended up with the Los Angeles Lakers and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and all these different companies.
$4 trillion, sir. $4 trillion.
These guys were, yeah, they were nowhere to be found, you know, and that's the problem. You can talk about the budget. You can talk about too much spending by the government, but they never start talking about that until the money is about to end up in the hands of average middle-class people. They never talk about it when it's going to the Fed, when it's going out in these big corporate welfare programs. They only talk about it when it is about to get to people that really need it the most. And that's just a difference of opinion between us. And so if he wants to work with us to improve the budgetary picture going forward, to help, you know, get the national debt under control, we want to work on that too. It's just that we think you have to raise some revenue from the wealthiest and most powerful in our society, and those guys are never willing to do that.
Hey, I got to ask you about minimum wage. I believe it has to be raised, but $15 probably isn't reasonable. Only 1.6% of Americans are actually on the actual minimum wage. Would you agree that to raise it in chunks, sir, as Biden has said, rather than all at once?
Yeah, and that was what we actually voted for. You know, this got kind of miscommunicated, I think, in the press. But the bill that we voted for would make the minimum wage, I think, $9.50 this year, $11 next year, and it would get to $15 in about 2026. And there would be look-back periods in there where you'd be able to look at the effect that it was having on jobs and decide if you wanted the progression to continue. So I thought it was actually a pretty careful approach. You know, they stripped it out in the Senate because they didn't think it was directly related to the budget. But we are going to continue trying to raise it in some form. And that's the key, like you said. $7.25, that's a poverty wage. It just is in today's America. And so it has to go up.
Got to ask you about, you're a Catholic, devout Catholic, Catholic family, Central Catholic. The bishops came out. I know you know this. Everybody's talking about this. Discouraging Catholics to take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. You know the reasons. Sir, if your grandmother was 90 and it was the only vaccine available, would you have her take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, Congressman?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a better example for your listeners of why this is so important, you know, my grandmother who passed away during COVID, you know, she had a nice life.
Yes.
She was in, well cared for and all those things. So she would have had options. But all over the world, there are Catholics and non-Catholics alike who live in extreme poverty, who it will not be easy to vaccinate, who live places where there is not a, you know, sub-zero refrigerator like you need for the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. Johnson & Johnson's at a normal temperature, and it's only one dose. So if you want to vaccinate all the Catholics and non-Catholics alike in Latin America, in Africa, you know, in the poorest and most difficult places in the world, Johnson & Johnson is our best bet right now. It's just practically speaking, it is. So if you want to promote life, I mean, millions of lives hang in the balance on whether we get them a vaccine this month or 6 months from now. And Johnson & Johnson is probably our best shot. So I hope they rethink that. And I know the Vatican as a whole, which you know, has to deal with the whole world and look at all these people, they have approved the use of vaccines, you know, derived from stem cells. So it's a bit of a difference of opinion there.
Hey, how's the baby?
Oh, he's doing great. Thank you for asking. Yeah, he's doing really well.
Hey, and are you convinced that Biden has been as effective as he wanted to be? A lot of folks suggesting he's more partisan than he suggested he would be with the executive orders and using Congress as a weapon. What do you say, sir?
I think that he can get better on the bipartisan stuff, but being down there, I'm aware of how difficult it is. And I think he views COVID as a major emergency in which there is not necessarily time. You know, bipartisanship takes time. It really does. And so I think he thinks that he needs to get this COVID relief to people right now by any means necessary because it's that important. And I think he's going to try to get the bipartisan laws done on other subjects, like transportation and infrastructure is a perfect example where it's an important issue, but it's not a five-alarm fire the way that COVID is. So we might be able to spend a little more time working together. In fact, he's having one of my Republican colleagues from the House over to the White House today. I haven't even been to the White House yet, and he's had two Republicans from Pennsylvania there because he is actually trying on this stuff. So people may not know that, but it really is happening in the background.
Congressman, I appreciate you, man. Have a great
day. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Have a good one, Marty.
Strong.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.